Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. So Hathach finds out that Haman is plotting to kill the Jews. Mordecai has heard this and sends a message to Esther. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called the king." So Esther knows that if she does what Mordecai asks, her life is in threat. He wants her to go to the king and speak up for the Jewish people. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. So this young Jewish girl who has been chosen to be the queen, and she quickly became his favorite. She was beautiful. But there is this plot running in the background. She has kept her Jewish identity a secret. And then Haman, this jealous, narcissistic noble in the king's court, comes up with a plot. And Mordecai draws Esther in. He wants her to use her royal position to help the Jewish people. And she is understandably wary. One wrong move and it gets you killed in the king's palace. But Mordecai sees things differently. He says to Esther, "Perhaps you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. Perhaps she has become queen for just this moment." And like all the heroes and heroines that we've looked at this summer, we might not think, well, where do I fit into this picture? But what can these people teach us? What can Esther teach us? I mean, I'm not aware of any of us being royalty this morning. You may have some blood somewhere, I don't know. But we may not be royalty, or we may not have the opportunity to save an entire nation. But this is scripture. And though it was written centuries ago, it still has the power to speak to us today and come alive to us today. So just briefly, we are going to learn three things that I hope might inspire us about this story from the story of Esther. And the first one is that God uses surprising people. So don't be surprised if he uses you. Now, Esther was a Jew, as we've said. And she's been keeping that quiet. But now her people are under threat. Up to now, that hasn't been the issue. She's just kept it quiet. So we might not think it's really that surprising that God has chosen a Jew to save the Jewish people. But would you have chosen Esther? She was a young woman. She had been orphaned, brought up by her cousin. And let's be brutally honest, it was largely her good looks that had got her into the good position that she was in. So if you were going to choose somebody, yes, you might choose somebody Jewish, but would you choose Esther to save the Jewish people, to thwart this evil plot to kill the Jews? Would you perhaps have thought that, well, we need somebody like Joshua, a strong military leader? Or would you go to a judge who commands the confidence of the people, like Deborah? Would you go to a prophet who speaks with the authority of God speaking through him, like Samuel? Would you really go to a young woman, probably still a teenager, but her age is unknown? But would you go to a woman whose main job was to be pretty? I suggest you probably wouldn't. But that is who gets used to unmask the plot, save the Jews, and fulfill God's purposes. And very often, when we have that opportunity to make a real difference, it's too easy for us to dismiss what God might do through us, or how he might use us to fulfill his purposes, because we can think, oh, it couldn't possibly be me. I'm not qualified. There's somebody else much better qualified. We think we fall into the trap of looking at other people and thinking, well, they're much more suitable. They're much more suitable. We say, here am I, Lord, please send somebody else. But God uses the weak to shame the wise. Esther is used not because she's the obvious candidate in the world's eyes other than Mordecai. On paper, it's still very risky and foolhardy. But she is used because God uses the weak to shame the wise. As we read in Scripture at the opening of our service, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. When he uses our weakness, he gives us the strength, and it is the might of our strong God who works through surprising people. And the second thing we might learn is that God doesn't need you, but he wants you. God doesn't need you, but he wants you. When Mordecai spoke to Esther, it may sound harsh, but he pointed out to her that her life was just as much in danger if she stayed silent. Her life was in danger like any other Jew. He said in verse 14, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. In other words, whether you fulfill this role or not, you are still in danger. You are still at risk. And Mordecai was absolutely convinced that the Jewish people were still going to be rescued, with or without her help. He didn't know how that might be, but he trusted that that would be the case. There is an implicit trust that God would find a way. But he also recognized that God was giving Esther an invitation to be part of that plan. She was presented with a choice to serve in a way that she probably never dreamt of. And it will have been one of the moments of all the events in her life so far that were giving her a choice. But nonetheless, God does not force her into following this risky plan. But through the invitation issued by Mordecai, he wants her. She just had to decide if she was willing to be part of what God was doing, no matter the cost. Mordecai believed that God's plan did not hinge on Esther, that God would find another way. Now, we need to remember God is sovereign. He has power over all creation. He doesn't need humanity to keep the world turning, much as a lot of humanity thinks it rolls around us. He doesn't need humanity to make the sun rise each morning. He doesn't need humanity to pour out his spirit and bring his kingdom on earth. He doesn't need humanity to fulfill all he wants to fulfill, but it's an act of grace and mercy that he invites us to work in partnership with him. Because when we work in partnership with him, we draw closer to him. And that is the greatest joy. When we work in partnership with him, we are changed to be more like his. So Mordecai hits the nail on the head. He says, one way or another, the Jews are going to be rescued. But do you want to be involved? Which side of history do you want to be on? Now, whatever it is God might be wanting you to do, the question, we have that same choice. Are we willing to let us use him, no matter how surprising it might be that he wants to use us, use me? Or do we want to leave it to somebody else and perhaps miss out on an opportunity to be part of something much bigger than we could ever have dreamt of? Much bigger than we thought even might be possible through us. And the last thing we might know is that God's silence is sometimes deafening. Now, some of you will know this. Why is the book of Esther in the Bible unique? There is no mention of God. Thank you. I had a hand up as well. Very well trained at the back there. Ingvar, we'll have words later. All the teachers are like, yes, put the hand up. There is no mention of God or the Lord in the whole of the book of Esther. He is not specifically mentioned, yet the shadow of his hand at work is cast over all of it. When you read through the story of Esther, even though God is not specifically mentioned, the shadow of the Almighty behind the scenes is all cast all over it. And it is in this chapter 4, in the bit that we've read, that that is perhaps most obvious. When Mordecai says to Esther, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. He doesn't give any sort of prophetic pronouncement. God has called you to this moment. There is no forthcoming conversation between God and Esther. But these words encapsulate what is so often our real experience. We looked a few weeks ago at how Samuel was called directly by God. For the young Samuel, the voice of God was close enough and clear enough that he thought it was Eli literally calling him. When Mordecai speaks to Esther, it is enough for her to hear his challenge, for her to accept the opportunity to risk her life for her people. His question points to a much bigger purpose than as to why she has become queen, not just because she's pretty. He reminds her and us that wherever we are in the present, whatever path has brought us to this place that we are in, that we can still be moved and used for a much greater purpose than we can perhaps imagine. What has gone before, God can redeem and use for great things. For Esther, probably from an earthly perspective, staying silent had a greater chance of survival than speaking up, but she still chose to speak up. Now, this silence of God can be a real challenge, because for us in our everyday lives, it is true that often God can feel distant, that we struggle to hear his voice and struggle to know that he is with us. But the story of Esther and the book of Esther remind us that he is still always there working behind the scenes. Now, if we are like Samuel, and there are those moments when the voice of God speaks to us really clearly and directly, we may get that indescribable feeling in our spirit that God is speaking. But it doesn't always happen when we want it to happen. When God is speaking, it's that kind of you know when you know moment. It is indescribable. But if we're honest, those moments are rare, or they are for me. And you just have to trust that God is with you, that he is working. And you take a step of faith and go, Lord, if it's the right thing, let this path be open. And even though there is nothing that tells us specifically that Esther heard a word of God, a word from God, she chooses the path that Mordecai suggests. But what we should know is that Esther makes the decision immediately and only then spends time in prayer and fasting. She isn't being decisive when she says, let's have 3 days of fasting. She has already decided. She has already accepted a path that could lead to her death. But she places herself through 3 days of fasting. She places herself in God's hands and in his will. I would love to know what her prayers were in those 3 days, but we don't. But her default position, like Nehemiah that we heard last week, his default position, Esther's default position, was to pray. And to join others, invite others, ask others to join in that time of prayer and fasting as she prepared herself to do this risky thing and speak to the king. It wasn't just to delay, it was to prepare. So for Esther and the book of Esther, the voice of God is silent, specifically. But the call that she accepted was deafening. She couldn't resist. She was aware of the risk. She was realistic about the risks and spent time in prayer. But she willingly chose to be part of God's plan and in so doing became part of something far bigger than herself. She was the surprising, willing piece of the puzzle that God chose to complete the picture just at the right time. Now, like Esther, it may be that God puts us into positions to be used without us realizing until the right time comes. Like Esther, he may also send a Mordecai into our lives who points out this might be just the time that God wants to use you. And like Esther, we have a choice. Will we be willing? Will we say, yes, I want to be part of God's plan, no matter what it may cost? Amen. Loving God.